So, guys, I'm so honored and blessed to be here, and I'm very impressed that some of y'all, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and come to breakfast. I will say, kudos, I'm in the food business, so kudos to the folks that did the food. That was fantastic. Anytime you get a biscuit and some grits, that's a good day, I think. So, I want to start with just a scripture verse to encourage each of us this morning, just to take some time, and as we think about what this experience is, just reference this first verse. Give instruction to the wise man, and he'll be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. So give instruction to wise. You guys are wise men to schedule some time to focus on leadership and your faith. And I'm confident that maybe perhaps today we'll learn a little bit more about each other and maybe what Scripture says, what some stories can say to each of us about the lives that we live and what we do. And if you're like me, I'm always on a journey. I'm trying to get better. I feel like I've been on this earth for 55 years now, and it feels like I'm still trying to learn how to be a better husband, a better father, a better leader. I was reminded of this just years ago with my son, and we were sitting on the couch, and I was trying to give him this lesson about being all in his life. You know, when you're on the soccer field, son, you need to be all in, and when you're at school, you need to be all in, you need to be giving your best. How many of you feel like you've given that speech to maybe somebody at work or your house or whomever? And I love my living room is set up perfectly for dad, right? I've got this chair that has like ledges on it, so I can set my drink on it. I can have my phone right here. I've got it lays back, so I put my computer on my lap while I'm watching a football game. So I got the remote control, the phone, the computer. I can focus, right? And I'm having this conversation with my son about being all in. And he looks over at me with his 13-year-old wisdom and says, "Well, Dad, you're kind of half in right now." And I said, "Shut up. You're just 13 years old. You don't know what you're talking about." And he, in his wisdom, he touched a chord. I realized that what I was saying and what I was doing wasn't lining up with who I wanted to be. And I was challenging him with my words, but not so much with my actions. And so what he heard and what he saw didn't line up with who I wanted to be. Because I want to be all in. I want to be all in with my family and all in with my wife and all in at work. I want to be all in with my faith. But sometimes what we say and necessarily what we do doesn't line up with who we're wanting to become. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that, maybe unpacking a couple principles as we have breakfast together. I'll introduce you to my family. I've been married to Gina for 33 years. I would say, and she would say, 31 of those have been pretty darn good. There were two that were just terrible, and it was all of my fault. But thankfully, we got on our knees and said, "Okay, God, we really want this to work." And we've been happily married for 33 years. Our family, we have a family of four. This is a picture of us in all places, Japan. And we were in a sumo wrestling practice, which was really cool. To see some grown men hitting each other as hard as they possibly can. That was pretty impressive. But our kids, we have four wonderful kids, three boys, and then I got down on my knees and prayed for a little girl who wouldn't forget my birthday. And God bless us with her. And we've got two beautiful, daughter-in-laws. And as Mark alluded, one, our oldest, they announced they're having their firstborn. So we're really excited about being grandparents. So that's a little bit about me. You might have heard that, yes, I've been a part of Chick-fil-A since I was 16 years old, and I think what got me in right off the start was I got a chance to work for somebody probably like many of you that just had a strong heart, strong integrity. I saw this combination of this insatiable desire to win combined with a humility to serve people, and I was just drawn to that. And so as a 16-year-old, man, I was like, I I didn't know I was going to be doing Chick-fil-A the rest of my life. But what was fascinating about the operator that I was working with, the franchisee, the franchisor that I was working with, Harold Jarvis, was what you saw matched what he said and what he did. And I was drawn to that, and I wanted to be more like that. And so I followed him all through high school and college and eventually became a franchisee with Chick-fil-A. About 15 years ago, took a leap and started working at our corporate headquarters down in South Atlanta, helping to coach and counsel and basically help the brand continue to grow. And so that's when I had a chance, literally from 16 years old, I had all these moments with our founder, Truett Cathy. It was just really cool. One of my favorite all-time memories, and back in the day, was getting to be in a hotel room with Truett Cathy. And this is when we didn't have separate rooms. We just, you know, two double beds, so both of you went in there. And Truett was all about being a good steward. And so that's what we would do. And I can remember being in this hotel room, and he had bought a Bojangles biscuit for breakfast. Okay, now this is way before we were serving breakfast at Chick-fil-A. This was like early, early days. And he bought this Bojangles biscuit at the first day, and he didn't eat it, so he put it in the refrigerator. And we were there for 3 days at this grand opening. And every morning he would ask me if I wanted that Bojangles biscuit that he had saved. And it was fascinating because he grew up in the Depression. He was all about, you know, make sure, be a good steward, save money, do those things. And so every morning he would like, "You want that biscuit?" I'm like, "No, yeah, what are you saying? I don't, you know," I was like, "No, I'm not that hungry right now." And then I get to this restaurant and eat, but I'm like, "I'm not that hungry right now." And he just wanted, and here was the lesson for me. And every night we would get down on our knees and do a prayer. He'd pray for me, he'd pray for the business. And what Truett said and what he did and who he was lined up. And I'm like, "Man, am I leading a life like that?" So here's what I want to do today for us is I want to unpack a couple principles that I think can be pretty powerful. And the first one is this. It's going to be three principles. The first one is this. Instruction is what we say. Instruction is what we say. Now, here's what I think is fascinating about the brand of Chick-fil-A, and if you know anything about Truett Cathy, he started in a little place called the Hateful Dwarf House back in the 40s. And from the 40s to the 60s, he was always messing around. He's always tweaking recipes. He was trying to figure out. And he figured out that if you take the bone out of a fillet of chicken and you bread it and pressure cook it, it's pretty good. And so he worked on that for like 20 years. And then in the 60s, he decided that he was going to sell this. And we were having this conversation right over here at this table. The first place he did that was Greenbrier Mall back in 1967. Took the whole idea of Chick-fil-A and packaged that and put it in Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. It was really cool. It's cutting edge. You could say that actually Truett not only invented the chicken sandwich, he invented the food court. I mean, that's kind of what he did back in the day. But here's what was fascinating. The business just took off from the 60s and 70s, 80s. If you were around in that time frame, that's when the mall business. I mean, malls were being developed all across the country. Every time a mall opened, we put a Chick-fil-A in it. It was fantastic. Truett just rode that wave. And then for those of you that were here in the 80s, you remember what happened at about 81, 82? What happened to the economy? Oh, my gosh, major recession. So much so that interest rates were around 17, 18%. You imagine that? Like buying your home at 17%. Some of you may have done that. That's like my parents. So here he was. We had just built our corporate office, a $10 million building. He had built that in 81. The economy drops out. All these restaurants are like, all these franchisees are like, what did you get me into? Like, sales are flat. I'm not making any money right now. What are you going to do? And so if you were an executive of Chick-fil-A, oftentimes what you'd naturally think about is, okay, how are we gonna right the ship? What are we gonna do to get sales going? What are we gonna do to get profits back on track? And this is what I think was so powerful in that moment for Truett Cathy. True at Cathy decided that the most important thing wasn't about the business. The most important thing was our why. Why are we in business in the first place? And this is what he said. He said, maybe we're asking the wrong question. Maybe the question we need to ask is, why are we in business? And it was in that moment in 1982 that he coined our corporate purpose, which is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all he's entrusted to us and have a positive influence on all those we come in contact with. Instruction is what we say. It's really important the words that we use. It's really important how we talk to the leaders that we lead, how we talk to our spouse, how we instruct our kids. It is important. Instruction is what we say. And here was the instruction that Truett was giving us. We're going to glorify God with our business. And we're going to do that by being really good stewards. And we're going to do that by trying to have a positive influence. Now, when I try to apply this to me and why that's so important is, you know, as you think about the Bible verse that may be tied to this, and this around instruction is what we say, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. What Truett was trying to do is, hey, let me try to put words behind what I'm feeling in my heart. Now, how many of you have, this is the line I can't stand my wife to use, and she uses it on me in my most vulnerable moments. But if I say something to her that may not be the most respectful, she will say to me, would you talk to somebody at work like that? I'm like, dang it, honey. Probably not. Instruction is what we say, how we use our words. And my encouragement is, man, that as men of faith, how are the words that you're using coming alive in the relationships that you have? What does that look like? Instruction is what we say. Now, the second part is influence is what we do. Now, what you say is important, but what you do may be even more important. So, it's 1982, and Truett's unpacked this wonderful corporate purpose to glorify God by being a faithful steward, to have a positive influence on all we come in contact with. But then the tough work comes, because influence is what we do. It's like maybe the first time you've kind of entered into a relationship, you come away from this breakfast, you go, I'm going to be a better person. Man, it's so hard to do this sometimes. Especially in business, I think, sometimes, because there are so many challenges coming in. And I'll tell you a quick story. How many of you guys remember the brand Boston Chicken? Boston Chicken. Man, I remember being a franchisee at the time and a stockbroker calling me. I was at Chick-fil-A. They call me and they go, hey, buddy, you need to get on this stock. This thing is taking off. And I felt like, this feels like a conflict of interest. I don't think I can be a part of Chick-fil-A and invest in Boston Chicken. It eventually became Boston Market. But the same thing was happening at Chick-fil-A. It was early 90s, and Boston Chicken's taking off. A lot of executives at Chick-fil-A were like, okay, what are we going to do? They're buying up, you know, real estate sites that we may want. They're growing like crazy. Let's go. So a couple smart guys got together and said, let's go to New York. Let's look for some outside external financing so that we can grow the business faster and get ahead of this, because there's all this opportunity. So that's what they did. They went to New York. They got a bunch of people, a bunch of banks that said, hey, we'd be happy to loan you some money at a really nice interest rate, and you guys can grow your brand. They came back with this masterful PowerPoint deck. It was awesome. And they're sitting down with Truett Cathy in the executive meeting room, and he's listening to it. And what I love about this part of the story is I bet Truett was thinking back to this corporate purpose. Let's be good stewards. Let's have a positive influence. And they're telling him about all this great stuff they could do with the brand. And Truett didn't get very upset very often, but as the story goes and it's been verified, Truett's in the office and he goes, I'm not interested in getting bigger. I'm interested in getting better. And when we get better, the customer will demand that we get bigger. Wow. He saw that opportunity, but he went back to what he was saying, which is, hey, we're going to be good stewards. And in his mind, being a good steward was not going out and just a truckload of cash and borrowing money to build a business, at least not from his vantage point. He said, I'm not interested in getting bigger. I'm interested in getting better. And when we get better, customer demand, we get bigger. Influence is what you do. So it's important to say what you say, but it's really important to do what you say. So, as a parent, as a leader, as a spouse, I can tell my wife how much I love her, but if I don't show her how much I love her, then it's for naught. Which leads us to the third principle. Image is who we are. Image is who we are. I've already had several conversations where you've told a story about maybe an interaction with Chick-fil-A, maybe a Chick-fil-A operator, maybe an interaction with Truett, actually. And I love those stories. I'm humbled. We're humbled by a lot of that, those stories. But it goes back to instruction is what you say and influence is what you do. An image is who you are when you do those things. I go back to that story with my son. He was looking at me and he was saying, Dad, you're talking about being all in. You're talking about being all in, but you're not doing those things. So my son's impression of me was that I was a half-in dad at times. I've got to work on that. As leaders, we get an opportunity to work on that. And so as you think about what these opportunities are, I think this is a really powerful couple principles. And one of my favorite leadership questions, as well as a family question, a spouse question, I want to share it with you because I think it can go back to, is what are these three things lining up? And it's this: what is it like to be on the other side of me? How many of you would be scared to death to ask that question sometimes? I know I am. I'm like, I'll come out of a really heated discussion with people, and then I'm like, this question gets in my head, and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to ask that now. Like, what's it like to be on the other side of me? This is a fantastic question. As a dad, as a spouse, as a friend, as a leader, what's it like to be on the other side of me? It can give you some insights into, hey, is what I'm saying and what I'm doing reflect who I am? Now, this breakfast to me is a great example of these three questions. Because some point in the time, you said to yourself or the others, hey, I want to be a better leader. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better husband, better father. We say it. Influence is what? What you do. Here you are, taking time, waking up early, coming to a breakfast, having some dialogue with other brothers about what you say and what you do and does it line up. And the hope is that your image reflects that. That's powerful. Now, as you think about the Chick-fil-A journey and where we've been, what I think is most powerful is Truett's example to his son, Dan Cathy. Dan Cathy's influence on his son, Andrew Cathy, who now runs Chick-fil-A. And if you think about these three questions, super intentional about how their words lined up with their actions that display who they are. So my question for us today and my encouragement is a reminder of why each of us was created and the fact that we're God's handiwork. I love this passage of Scripture in Ephesians. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. I think sometimes we skip over that, especially as men sometimes. We skip over this idea that God perfectly designed you. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So there is a plan that God has prepared for each of us in advance to do. And how powerful that is. I'll end with a story that I think has been really powerful for us as a brand. And it's powerful for, I think, each of us to be reminded of. But years ago, we had a famous author. You know, we'll have this annual seminar conference. Many businesses do this. You go to a conference, something like this. You have a speaker that you invite, and they talk about business and strategy. It was a gentleman by the name of Jim Collins. He's written several books, Good to Great, Built to Last, How the Mighty Fall. He's a well-respected business strategist. I mean, when he gets on stage, everybody goes like, wow, Jim Collins is in the house, because the guy's brilliant. And he said to the audience of Chick-fil-A operators, franchisees, staff, he said, the world needs Chick-fil-A. And if you're at the time, we were a young brand, and to hear something like that, man, it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. It's like, wow, this guy, really respect this gentleman, and he doesn't know that much about us, but he realizes in his mind, the world needs Chick-fil-A. And what he was talking about is the way that we were serving we serve guests, the way we try and treat people, you know, the fact that, you know, we're really passionate about the customer experience. We're honored by that, humbled by that. But as you think about that, does the world really need Chick-fil-A? I mean, really? I mean, it's a great sandwich. Don't get me wrong. It's a great sandwich and great service. But what the world really needs is they need things like joy and peace and patience and gentleness and self-control. Those ring a bell with anybody? Fruits of the Spirit. Thank you. I told you. I knew this table would yell out. Thank you so much. I said, guys, bring it. Fruits of the Spirit. Joy and patience and kindness and gentleness. Patience, self-control. What the world really needs is for each of us to deliver on those things in our family, with our spouse, in our friendships, and as just as important in our business environments. That's what the world needs. And God gave us some instruction. And we have an opportunity to do those things. And when we do, the image of Christ comes through each of us when we do that. That's what the world needs. I was reminded of this when I was in a restaurant, and we do this thing called refreshing beverages. So this was a Chick-fil-A, we'd walk up to you and go, sir, do you need a refresh on that beverage? And we'd take the cup of coffee, we'd get you a refill, and we'd bring it back to the table. It's just part of our hospitality model. And I'll never forget walking in the dining room and seeing this lady back by the playground, and she was by herself, and she had a large lemonade, what I thought was lemonade. And I walked up to her and said, ma'am, can I refresh your beverage? She said, sure. So I go to the counter, I come back, and when I get back, she's crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, did my finger slip into the cup? What happened? Like, what did I do, you know? And I look at her and I said, ma'am, is everything okay? And she proceeds to tell me that this is the first time that anybody has done anything for her in over a month. Her husband was deployed. She had a set of twins in the playground raising hell. If I'm honest, they were just crazy. It was awesome. They're in there having a ball, getting crazy. She's out here with her large lemonade. She says to me, the reason I bought a large lemonade is because I just didn't want to have to get up. I just needed a break. And she goes, this is the first time anybody has offered to do anything for me for over a month. And I was reminded right there. Hey, we can say we really want to serve people, but if we don't really serve people, the image of Chick-fil-A is not what we desire. We can say, hey, we're going to leverage our faith in the business world. We're going to display through our actions the fruits of the Spirit. But if we don't intentionally look for ways to do that each and every day, the image of Christ won't come through. It just won't. And so in a world where there's so much tension, there's so much animosity at times, here's what the world doesn't need from me. And this is just my personal opinion. They don't need my political view. They really don't. You know what they need? Joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And man, that is hard sometimes. But God said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and what? What was next? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Guys, I got to tell you something. I love myself a lot. I buy myself clothes and cars and golf clubs every now and again. I love myself. Do I love my neighbor as much as I love myself? Do I love my coworker? Do I love my spouse? Do I love my kids? Do I love my community? Do I love that neighbor that has that little sign that says no peeing, no pooping, no parking? And I know why he put that sign out, because of my dog. Do I love that guy as much as I love myself? Am I displaying the fruits of the Spirit in every interaction? Are my words lining up with my actions so that I can display the image of Christ? And if not, man, as you're finishing up your biscuit, think about what you could do. How would your little community of influence change if we leveraged what God told us to leverage, the fruits of the Spirit, more of the time? So my hope is this, that you're reminded that you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He prepared in advance for you today. So when you get out of here and the first interaction is somebody cutting you off in traffic, throw some joy their way. Throw some grace their way. Throw some gentleness their way, some kindness, some, most importantly, some self-control. Or when you go into work and immediately you're hit with a challenge, think about, are the things that you've said you wanted to work on lining up with what you're doing so that you can be the image of Christ in every interaction that you have? So I want to say personally, thank you for taking time to work on you, because it will be to the benefit of others. And it's what Christ created us to do each and every day. So thank you for allowing me to have some time with you. This fills my soul, and I really do appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.